Parliament building, as you know, sits silent on the hill. The business of government limps on in the building surrounding it in the Stormont estate. But with pressures on health, education, infrastructure and all the other budgets, is it time to look at the cash being spent on Stormont itself? Yesterday it was announced that 150 people are being temporarily redeployed, frankly, to find them something to do now that devolution has effectively disappeared. But the canteen continues to be subsidised, MLAs are still being paid, and this morning it's been revealed that civil servants are using chauffeur-driven ministerial cars, sometimes just to get them from one building to another. In other cases, for trips in top-of-the-range cars to Derry and Dublin. So with all those concerns about cash, is it time to take action? Is it time to simply mothball Stormont and stop the spending in the absence of a deal? Is the facade of government without actual power sharing really worth hundreds of thousands, if not millions of pounds? Give us a call now, 03030 80 55 55. On the line is Bumper Graham from the trade union NIPSA and the TUV leader, Jim Allister. We'll go to you first, Bumper. You want to defend all of this?
Well, first of all, let's make it quite clear, Chris, that the total and absolute blame and fault lies with the 90 MLAs who were elected and are continuing to draw their full salaries while only doing a very small part of the job that they're paid for. And it is gross hypocrisy to have them coming on and attacking workers within the civil service and the Assembly when they're the ones who are letting the whole of Northern Ireland down.
You think, for example, it's OK for officials to jump into a car, a chauffeur-driven car, to get them from one building on the Stormont estate to another on the Stormont estate?
You know, things like saying swanning about, as you led into this, is not true. These are our official government vehicles, not for the sole use of ministers. Even if we have an executive, the cars are available when not being used by ministers for senior civil
servants. Let me ask the question again, Bumper, because you clearly didn't hear it. Is it OK to get a chauffeur-driven car to take you from one building on the Stormont estate to another?
Well, I think it would depend. If it was a nice day like today, most people would probably walk. But if it was one of our normal days where it's tipping it down, then yes, that might be a better thing to do.
So you've not heard of an umbrella. It's OK for civil servants.
You
are somebody who comes on this programme. Hang on, Bumper. You regularly come onto this programme and you complain about the waste of money at Stormont. And you have just defended somebody getting into a chauffeur-driven car.
They're cars driven. They're official government vehicles driven by official drivers. It's not like the image
What's the difference? So what are they employed as? Drivers?
They're employed as drivers.
Okay, so what is the difference between a chauffeur and a driver?
Well, there's big connotations. Chauffeurs tend to work for individuals who are highly rich and highly paid.
No, they don't. They work for often for organisations, for departments. What's the difference between a chauffeur and a driver?
The point here, Chris, is, and let's get to the point. You want to avoid the point.
I'm sorry, Bumper. You're deliberately avoiding the point. I made the point that you constantly come on to complain.
That the drivers should have been paid off.
I'm asking the question at the moment. You asked me a question you don't want me to answer, Bumper.
I'm answering it.
No, you don't want me to answer. You asked me a question.
But not sack the MLAs?
No, I'm asking you the question this. I'm saying here at this point, and we're asking the question about all costs at Stormont, and that includes the MLAs. We're asking you the simple question this. You come onto this programme regularly, and you say to me, and you say to Stephen, and you say to whoever else, listen, we cannot afford to continue doing this. We need more money for the health service. We need more money for education. We need more money for public services.
And you've just
sat down and you've just said, yeah, it's fine to have a chauffeur-driven car take you from one building on the estate of Stormont to another because it might be raining.
What I said is in the context where there are official vehicles and official drivers, then it is best to make use of them. Otherwise, what you would be doing is you would have sacked the drivers and they would have been the ones that paid the price for the political inertia that is the responsibility of the elected MLA.
So why are you defending the drivers whenever you think that Stormont needs to be cutting back on other things, investing more in public services? You think that the drivers are essential at the moment, do you?
No, what I'm saying is that they should not be the scapegoats for the political failure of our MLAs.
Well, let's talk to one of those MLAs. Colin McGrath from the SDLP is on the line. Do you feel strongly as well about keeping these drivers?
I think what we have at the moment is we're in an uncertain situation because of the fact that we don't have the executive and we don't have the assembly. If everything was in place, everybody would have their role. I know that through the Assembly Commission, they have had to look at sort of redeploying staff to try and find them roles because the specific work that they do isn't taking place. I think probably the same for the drivers. It's probably better to redeploy them into roles that where they're actually, they have work to do and that they can get on with rather than being some form of glorified taxi service for civil servants. So, you know, I think it's uncertain for people. I don't think that we should be ridiculing those that are working and those that are willing to work but actually don't have the work there for them. And in essence, it's not their fault. It's the fault of two parties not being able to deliver an executive.
Well, I think Bumper blames all of you, frankly. He's saying that 90 MLAs really need to be in a position where they take responsibility for this. And I think he's saying, listen, these are people who are earning a salary and that shouldn't be interrupted. But I think he would feel very strongly that perhaps you shouldn't be earning a salary.
Well, look, I certainly have no problem in agreeing with that. I'm being paid as an MLA, but I'm not getting access to do the full range of work that an MLA does, and I don't think that I should be paid fully for that. Now, the determination will be taken. I think the two main parties who have locked themselves away into the talks process and won't tell any of the other parties what it is that they're discussing.
You could be handing some of that money back.
Well, you know, once we get to the stage of Monday where we know if there's an executive or not, I think the Secretary of State will have to take some serious consideration.
Will you take serious consideration on Monday yourself? Will you start to say to yourself, listen, I'm going to pan some money back? Is that what you will decide on Monday?
Certainly, when the Secretary of State, and I think it's more when than if, Chris, when the Secretary of State takes the determination that money needs to be handed back, I have no problem in doing that because I'm employed to do the whole range of work as an MLA. I've been, you know, in the absence of the legislative role in the Assembly, I have been working in the constituency, continue to do that. My diary is back-to-back with work that I'm doing for constituents on the ground, and I will continue to do that. I made a pledge to the people of South Down that I would do what I can to try and make our communities better and to make people's lives better. I will continue to do that as I can, but if I'm not fully able to do that in the role that was there, then I think that the salaries must be addressed.
Okay, so that is a commitment for you to look at your salary on Monday. James is on the line. Hiya, James. Do you want to speak to Bumper Graham?
Yes, good morning, Chris. Good to hear you in the programme.
Ah, good to be here. Thank you very much.
There's more to this, really. If you look at individual trips, that trip to Londonderry, that driver would have had to start quite early in the morning to drive to Londonderry, to pick the civil servant up, to drive him to Stormont, hang about all day, and then drive him back to Londonderry, and then drive from Londonderry back to Stormont to finish his work.
Okay, so let's actually talk about this journey. So this journey was taken on four different occasions. An official in the Department for Infrastructure was picked up in Derry. Remember, the ministerial car has to come from Stormont, then brought to meetings in Belfast, then driven back to Derry. Now, Kevin McGee from Good Morning Ulster raised this on the programme this morning. He has the details of this. And he said the department said there are occasions when the official car is overall a more effective means of travel. Do you think it's more effective in this case, James?
No. The civil servant could have used the train. He could have got a taxi locally in Londonderry to the train, got the train down to Belfast, and maybe the car could have picked him up there.
Do you want to defend that, Bumper Graham?
Chris, I think you would understand that I'd be a bit reticent to talk about individual cases, but my understanding from...
Why?
Let me finish. My understanding from the report by Kevin was that the person concerned had an illness, and because of that, that was the reason it was used. So, you know, I think in those circumstances, you've got to examine the full details of the case. But
It's a 300-mile round trip.
We're missing the point. And the main point here is that the cars are there, the drivers are there. So what do you want to do if you don't utilise them in the absence of ministers? And it also does raise an issue. Why do ministers have to have cars, because cars will go and pick ministers up first thing in the morning in Derry and drive them to Stormont and drive them back again.
So you actually want rid of the cars then?
No, I'm saying that I don't see why ministers have to have this very special status.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So
everybody else.
So you actually are
Chris,
saying you want rid of the cars. Yeah, go ahead, James.
The other point I would like to make is the ex-First Minister, who is no longer in post, she's driven about, which really she shouldn't be because she's no longer First Minister while the Assembly's not sitting.
Well, I think
why is she getting special status?
I think sometimes there are security issues and there are other issues that have to be addressed. But I mean, the point is, Bumper, you're basically saying there that you don't actually think ministers should have a car in the first place.
I'm saying I'm not saying that they shouldn't have a car. I am happy and content that departments have official vehicles and that they're utilised when needed, including by ministers, including by civil servants.
Well, no, you just a minute ago said specifically that you questioned why there should be ministerial cars.
No, I said that why does it always have to be the case that they're for ministers only?
It's weird that you're defending it for civil servants on these cases and you want to get rid of them for ministers.
If you knew the history, official cars have been around from I first was involved in the civil service way back in the mid-70s. And it is only recently that they've moved away from the term official vehicles to ministerial cars. And they're not solely for the use of ministers. It's about the proper utilisation of the resource for the civil service, including the minister's office.
Colin McGrath is fighting to get back in. Hi, Colin.
Yeah, I mean, the point that I was making, Chris, was, you know, through the work with the trade unions and the Assembly Commission, there has had to be the redeployment of the staff out of Parliament buildings. You know, for example, committee clerks don't have any work to do because the committees aren't meeting, so they've been redeployed out. So I think if the unions have accepted that there, that may be an option for the drivers as well.
Colm, all I'd say is it is very difficult to find redeployment opportunities for drivers.
Well, you know, I appreciate it may not be the easiest job, but I think it's one of the points that's been made there is that, you know, there are about 150 staff within Parliament buildings that have had to be redeployed out.
Yes, and we have worked very collaboratively with the management side to try and deal with that problem.
And that's
can I ask Bumper one question?
And that is welcome, and I think that maybe would be important here because your public perception is important. I think the public perception of the story that has been broken today, it doesn't reinforce any confidence in the system. The confidence is low enough.
What I find difficult, Colm, is the crocodile tears being shed by many of your colleagues, not just from your own party, but other parties, on the media this morning, and it's an attempt to divert the public away from what the real issue is, and the real issue is the fact that the politicians in this country who have had a great opportunity to do things for us are sitting on their hands whilst Rome burns.
I think, Bumper, that was the very opening line that I said, was that there are two parties locked away in a room that aren't delivering the executive that we need. And on that point, we certainly are in agreement.
I think Seamus wants to make a point on this too. Hiya, Seamus.
Hiya, Stephen. Stephen.
It's Chris, but don't worry.
Sorry, Chris. I'm listening to Bumper, and I can see his point. I'm listening to Colin. I'm listening to the other contributor. But the decent working people of Northern Ireland, you know, if they didn't turn up for work, they wouldn't get paid. But the crux of the whole thing is, this thing is money. And the amount of money it's taken to keep these MLAs, you know, in the comfort that they've come accustomed to. Now, if you take a direct comparison, Greater Manchester is 8 million people out of 30 full-time councillors. I don't know whether they have cars or not, but they turn up for work. Our MLAs have refused to go to work. They shouldn't be paid. This transcends right across all religious divides. It's morally wrong. It's fundamentally wrong. Our health service is on its knees. It could be doing with the money. There are people listening to this programme, and I am sure they were asked the question, should the MLAs be receiving money where they're not going to work? I would say the vast majority of people are going to put up their hands and say, no, it should stop. Well, and like previous times, sorry, I'll just one more point. And like previous times, wire, and Brokenshire keeps putting the date back, oh, we're going to go direct road, oh, there's some move, and they keep putting the date back and keep putting... The day he calls time and says, right, tell you what, lads, close the door of Stormont, give me the key, we'll redeploy the civil servants and the drivers, because it wasn't their fault. It wasn't their fault that they had no work to do, the clerks of the committees. Drivers of these cars.
And I suppose that is the point, Bumper. I mean, you know, you are talking about the defending the drivers here, and I can understand why you want to defend people's jobs and all of this. But there are tough decisions that are going to have to be made. I mean, when you talk about the redeployment of these 150 staff, I mean, 150 staff are being retained to perform functions, including like processing MLA's pays and expenses. I mean, that you know, ultimately, there are going to have to be hard choices at some stage here, aren't there?
Chris, undoubtedly, we cannot continue in this political hiatus of not having any local executive in assembly, and likewise having a very hands-off NIO minister. And if the assembly crashes, and none of us want to see the assembly crashing, we want to see it back up and functioning. If that happens, then yes, we will have to get in to the most serious negotiations any trade union finds itself in, and that is looking how to avoid redundancies. Not something we would want to do. We want to see Stormont, the executive and the assembly and all the institutions back up and fully functioning in the interests of all the people of Northern Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, but even you must see the irony in keeping staff to pay MLA salaries for an assembly that effectively doesn't exist.
As I said at the very outset, the MLAs, all 90 of them, are there. I accept what Colm said, that they're doing part of the job, but they're not doing the main function of the job, which is to scrutinise and bring forward legislation and deal with our budget crisis. So, yes, there is a bit of an irony in it. But again, you can't shift it onto the fact that there are some public servants being employed to pay the salaries of the likes of the MLAs. Let's put the people who are responsible for this at the top of the pile, and that is the 90 MLAs.
030 30 80 55 55. Alan's in Carrickfergus. Hi, Alan.
Hi, morning, Chris.
You want to speak to Bumper then?
Well, yeah. First of all, I have to say it was funny listening to Colm squirm whenever you ask him about voluntarily handing back some of his salary. I mean, it's one thing to say, yeah, we all agree we shouldn't be getting paid what we are, but then they hold on to it. But
well, before you talk to Bumper, talk to Colm. Colm, do you want to respond to that?
Well, I mean, if the remark is he's squirming at the fact that you're getting paid for something you're not able to do, then, you know, I understand that. I was elected as an MLA. That's what I want to do. But it's two parties that are locked in a room that aren't coming to negotiation that are preventing us from being able to do that. The Secretary of State will have to step in. If he steps in and cuts the wages, I won't be objecting to that at all.
Yeah, we should say that we did invite the DUP and Sinn Féin onto the programme. We haven't heard back from... Oh, no, I think they've told us that they're not available to talk to us on the programme this morning.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, everybody agrees that it's Sinn Féin and the DUP that have to come to some sort of deal, but... Colin, you shouldn't underestimate the sense of anger in the public at all MLAs, regardless.
Never
do. Anyway, my point to Bumper was, there's a crisis in the public sector when it comes to money. And yes, I agree the MLAs are the ones ultimately to blame for this. But that's neither here nor there. There's people being paid here when there isn't work actually available to keep them employed full time or to employ them in the numbers that they are employed. And if this was money, if this was people being employed who were, say, special advisors or lawyers, Bumper would be the first one on saying this needs to stop and it needs to stop immediately. But because they're drivers, Bumper's on defending them. You can't defend the waste of public money in any way, shape or form, Bumper.
That probably is a fair point, isn't it, Bumper?
But they are doing work. The option was...
There's not really work for them to do, though. I mean,
whenever... Let me make the point.
I will do, but I was just going to...
Okay,
go ahead.
They're doing work If they weren't doing the work, they would have been made redundant, and then there would have been big redundancy payoffs. And you and others would have been then calling me on to programs like this saying, look at the redundancy payments these people have got. So, yet again, the ordinary worker can't win in this debate. And it is, I said, maybe it's quite a clever approach by all of the parties, or maybe just by the DUP and Sinn Féin, not to be wanting to come on and talk about what the real issue is.
You say that there is work for them to do. I mean, with this Freedom of Information request that Kevin McGee has looked into, the Department of Finance car has only been taken out for short maintenance trips to make sure it remains in working order. That there's no job there.
Yeah. And you're so clearly there's a lack of consistency, and I would not defend the lack of consistency. If one department thinks that it shouldn't use its car, yet other departments think the best way to deal with things is to use the car for official business, for officials, then I think that is a sensible option.
OK, Albert's in Ballyclare. Hi, Albert.
Good morning.
What do you have to say?
Just in bumper Graham there, he's defending workers' rights and so on. I would like to raise a question with him. I heard in this report that these boys are swimming about in luxury scooter cars. Now, do you know where scooter cars are made? They're made in Czechoslovakia. They're owned by Volkswagen. And in the United Kingdom, we have Toyota, Nissan, Honda making luxury cars as well, employing United Kingdom workers. And is he there defending the situation with regard to this? And why on earth are we buying them with taxpayers' money, including my own, who have been paying tax for 65 years to squander in Czechoslovakia as against the United Kingdom?
Well, I don't think that you're defending the cars, although I think it's through a legitimate procurement process, Bumper, isn't it?
Yes. And we have to comply with not just European but world trade rules. So a procurement exercise was conducted, and obviously they came out. But you know that is a very separate issue about procurement rules.
Don't talk nonsense. You think that for 1 minute that the Prime Minister is going to drive around in a Mercedes instead of a Jaguar?
If the Downing Street are not applying the procurement rules, that's a fault that lies there. But you're missing the point here, Albert. The point is that we're in a situation whereby we've been neglected by the elected politicians. And
I'm not worried. Well, that's the
people who would suffer are the ordinary workers.
I'm talking about the good use of taxpayers' money. And for the benefit of the taxpayers in this country.
Well, do you want to put that to Colin McGrath as well? Because, I mean, presumably politicians have a bit of a say in how this is used, how this money's used. Colin?
I want to see people doing the... And, you know, in order for the drivers to do the job that they're doing, that means that we need to get the executive up and running.
Okay, let's go to Brian in Andersonstown and try and squeeze it in before the news. Hiya, Brian.
Hello, Chris. This is all about, as far as I can hear, saving money and spending money. Give me these cars are like company cars now. Somebody's telling me that if this car is sitting outside dormant and Silver Surfing has to go down to Dublin on a round trip, which is costing a taxi over £200, so what do? Do you let the car sit outside doing nothing, or do you book a taxi?
Well, in some cases, the departments are actually having the car sit outside. The Department of Finance, for example, as I mentioned, is only going on maintenance runs. It's not being used at all.
Well, that's my point. Why shouldn't it be used then? If it's there, it's there for the minister, but if it's there anyway, it's there parked up, why can't it not be used, say, going down to Dublin?
Well, I suppose the point in the question being asked here is, what is wrong with somebody using the train or using the bus or using an ordinary car and driving themselves, as opposed to keeping this car whenever it's frankly not needed?
We're talking about saving money, but we're talking about saving money. What is the cheapest?
Well,
what's the dearest? You know?
I suppose the cheapest would be to get rid of the car, wouldn't it?
Well, for that particular, if it's a couple of trips a week down to Dublin, do you use the car or use taxis? So, what's the cheapest?
Yeah,
so
Bumper.
That's my point, you know, that's what I want to ask that question. Like, I mean,
were you fighting to get in there, Bumper?
Well, I was going to say two things. First of all, if they're using their own vehicles, then they're able to charge mileage, quite rightly so, but they're not able to do work. Whereas
well,
if they're in the official
cars and Stormont, what am I talking about, private cars? I'm talking about... The Stormont cars?
No, Bram, what I'm saying is that if they were to use their own cars, they would be claiming mileage, so there's a cost there. Likewise, they wouldn't be able to work, whereas if they're using the official car, then it's already paid for, and they're also able to do work within the official
car. They could, of course, do that in a train or a bus as well, couldn't they?
Let me ask you this. If you have to come and do an interview with me and say I was living in Portadown, I mean, the BBC are going to either pay you to travel or get you a vehicle to get there.
Yeah, or I have travelled on public transport in order to go to jobs before, actually, but
Chris, I was involved in a company. I drove a company car for about 20 years. Now, my boss is going to turn around and tell me there's the money for the... If I had to go to Dublin, there's the money for the train round trip. Just leave the car.